Hello again, I'm Jim Edgar of Learn IT to Teach. This is the second of a two-part podcast with Mareike Gertz of the YMCA of Greater St. John. In part one, Mareike described her blended link class. In this second part, she discusses some of her experiences working with PBLA in blended program delivery. How have you used PBLA in your blended approach?
Well, I try to do that in several ways. First of all, every month I create a checklist on EduLink, and on the checklist, students can find the activities that we've done in class or that they're doing at home that would qualify to go into their PBLA binder. So if it's a skill-building activity or an assessment, that would be on that checklist. So even if they miss time for any reason, they can always go back to the checklist and see what they were supposed to do. And then, of course, at the beginning of every month, we do a needs assessment, which is topic-specific. So students can really let me know what they want to learn and if there are specific topics that they're interested in and or skills that they really want to practice. And then at the end of the month, we also do a course evaluation where they can tell me what they liked or what they learned, what went well, what did they miss. So those are some PBLA components that I've integrated. And then another part of getting feedback is where EduLink is very helpful with the SCORM activities. If they do a SCORM activity and the answer is not correct, then they always get another chance, right? The SCORM activity doesn't give them the right or wrong answer right away. So they really continue to learn, and the feedback is immediate and it's applicable to what they're doing. So I think that's important for them.
Sounds terrific. Now, those are the positive things or benefits, but there must be some challenges too. What types of challenges do you face using EduLink or blended learning and PBLA together?
Yeah, well, PBLA is supposed to be a portfolio. So a lot of the work that we do online, obviously, is not directly visible in their binder. So that's a challenge because it means that I have to go and print off work that they've done online and so they can put it in their portfolio. Or if they did a SCORM object that had a reading text, I'll give them a copy of that text so they can put that in their binder. Another way that I try to solve that issue is to print off their grades. So an overview of the grades that shows all of the activities that they've done. And I know that it's possible to create an online portfolio, but I haven't really been able to get that working perfectly. So before I share that with the students, I really want to make sure that I'm comfortable making an online portfolio as well.
Right. And I guess even if it is online, it still has to go into a printed format. So.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I guess your printers get lots of use as a result.
Yeah.
Could you give an example of an activity, of a learning activity that the students do online that you would print?
Well, if it's a writing assessment, they would, or a skill-building activity as a writing piece, they would submit that assessment online, and I can give them feedback online for each student individually. And what I would typically do is print that off, and then with a rubric, I would complete the rubric for them to put that in their binder as well. So the personalized feedback is what I give them online, and they can use that to rewrite their piece. But then I also give them a rubric with their printed piece to put in their binder.
Very good. You mentioned when we talked about this before that using PBLA in your classes has gotten easier.
Yeah.
What advice would you give teachers who might be looking at integrating PBLA into blended learning?
So from my own experience, what I really liked about it was that once you've created a course around a topic, you can save it as a backup, and then you can share it with your colleagues, and you can use it again later, and that really saves you a lot of time. And that makes using PBLA easier, right? So my advice to others would be that you really have to work together as a team to make this successful. And that goes from sharing resources and sharing activities that you've created, but also it's important that you're consistent across the stages. So in our center, everybody in stage two, so CLB 5 and up, is using the blended approach. And we use it in the same way. So if a student comes in at link 5, they get a login. And as they move through the stages, they continue to use that login. And the teachers only have to unenroll them and enroll them in the new course. But that consistency is important because if you use it in link 4 and then not in link 5 and then they get to link 6 and they use it again and maybe they get a new login, and that just gets really frustrating and complicated. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is that be consistent and work together as a team, and that can really, you know, shoot you forward.
Excellent. Any other advice that comes to mind, Mirky?
So another point of advice would be that it's really helpful if you've completed stage 3 of the training, because in that stage of the training, you get a lot more possibilities to create your own activities. And if you're doing blended work, then you want to have a wide variety to keep it interesting and to keep it varied for the students. So completing stage 3 is kind of important too.
Wonderful idea. Well, thank you so much for your time to talk about this, Mirky. I think it'll be very helpful for other teachers to hear.
I hope so.
Yeah, to hear about ways they can use PBLA and blended learning together.
Yeah, it's really, really helpful for us. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Terrific. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
This podcast comes to you from the Learn IT to Teach project. Learn IT to Teach is funded by the Government of Canada through Immigration, Citizenship, and Refugees Canada. Thank you for listening.